chapter 1. Oh, sorry. Yeah, 2 John, and today we will be doing chapter 2, 4 through 6. And from last week, this is a letter written to a church, and so is the whole series of 1 John, 2 John, 3 John. And as I was saying last week, it is John writing to this elect lady, which is highly likely a church, reminding and encouraging them about who Jesus is, so that they can stay strong in this time of turbulence. In the churches, there has risen up false teachers who say things about Jesus that is not true. They didn't really come in the flesh. And so that is actually splitting. Those people are drawing people away from who God really is, and John is trying to encourage the believers. So last week we talked about love and truth, and again he will continue to talk about the importance of what is true, and today also what are the commandments, what it means to walk in the truth, walk in the commandments that God had given and that Jesus also had given them. As I said also last week, was this great encouragement that the truth of Jesus will reside in the believers until, well, actually forever, and that they will receive grace and mercy and peace from God, which would be a great encouragement if it was a turbulent time. So John is trying to strengthen and encourage this church. So let's pray. Let's read the text. I rejoice greatly to find some of your children walking in the truth, just as we were commanded by the Father. And now I ask you, dear lady, not as though I was writing a new commandment, but the one that we had from the beginning, that we love one another. And this is the love, that we walk according to his commandments. This is the commandment, just as you have heard from the beginning, so that you should walk in it. So there's another section of encouragement. So the last week was the greetings, and now come this section of praise and encouragement and also praise section, where he I don't know, you see him sitting there writing the letter, and then he's like so encouraged, and it's like, I rejoice greatly that I found some of you walking in the truth. So in this turbulent time that the churches are going through, John is so joyful and rejoices that some of the people are still walking in the truth. Back from John the Gospel, and generally in the Greek, walking means that you're living out these things. So not like they're not just walking, but it's like in their lives they're living out these things. They're living out the truth. They're walking in the commandments, as they will be later on. So he rejoices, and he's so full of joy to see that some of these people are walking in this way. The Spirit has not worked in vain. Some of these people, there were fruits in these churches. There were fruit that not all was drawn away. There's people who had shown good fruit. They showed and lived out that they knew the truth. They knew Jesus. And now they were walking in this truth. John rejoices in the work that God does in through Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit by opening up the eyes of these people, and not as just a knowledge, a head knowledge of something, but it's something that actually transformed their lives, and they changed them from the inside out, that they did not just say it, they lived it out. So he's hearing, maybe likely hearing these things, that some of these people are doing that. There's good fruit. And rightly, John rejoices in this. It is such good news. He rejoices in this. I also believe that it encourages the rest of the church that it's possible to walk in this way. By the power of the Holy Spirit, it's possible to walk in truth, and it's possible to, in Christ, to walk in these commandments. To not be led astray, and that's kind of where the slightly warning there, to not be led astray, but to love Jesus and to walk in his commandments. That we, and also them, don't have to be blown away by philosophies of this world, or be led astray by false teachers. But that in Christ it's possible to walk in him and walk in the commandments by his power and his spirit. I think generally the rejoicing and the celebrating and other things don't necessarily, as me, come so easy. So I think this is a strong passage for me. I might have a different bent to not be sad, but at least be like not overly excited about things. But I think that maybe is a challenge, because I think what John is here to do is rightly praising God for what he's done. And he's praising God that he's moving in these people, that these people are walking in the truth. And that that is really something to be very thankful and grateful and rejoiceful in. But it also begs the question when he says some are, then there's also some who are not. There are some people that are not walking this way, and they are open to be led astray. And we can think about the pain and frustration that might also cause, and the sadness that might cause John as well. He's rejoicing greatly that some of them are. He might also be quite stirred, and as he's writing these things, praying to God that more of them will do this. But John here focuses on the part where what God has done, not on what he hasn't done. And he gives God glory for that. So John rejoices that God is working. Sometimes it can be easy to look at all the places where God is not working, where people are not walking in the truth. I was going on a run today, and I was looking at, it's difficult. I see all these things. Oh man, this should be different. This should be different. But the thing is, what becomes the focus? And also in this letter, what becomes the focus here? John chooses to rejoice in what God is doing. He doesn't let his frustration boil over with the sadness, but rejoicing in what God has done. The question for me and all of us and them in there would be, when they receive this rejoicement, will they rejoice along with him with what God has done? Would they receive joy as he gives this encouragement to them that I know some of you are doing this well? God is working in some of you and you are doing this well, and that creates rejoicing in me. I praise God for what God is doing in you, and I encourage you to rejoice also with me with that. I can ask myself, and we can ask each other, do we rejoice as much in what God has done in us and in people in the fellowship, or do we have a tendency to complain more about what God has not done in us or in others? As I was reflecting on the theme, these things in this passage, it seems that strength comes from seeing and rejoicing in what God has done. The question to myself and to us and to also the church, how will they respond to this? Will they go be encouraged too? Are we good at rejoicing in what God has done? That is actually one of the reasons why we have the testimony time, is that we can come along each other and rejoice with one another of what God has been doing. As I said before, I can be much better in that. But joy comes from seeing and understanding that God has worked. We might sometimes forget how much he's even worked in us because we're so occupied with what we think he should be doing. But I and I am you rejoicing in what he's already done. What Christ, Jesus Christ has already done in us. I mean, from last time, I'm still trying to, I would like this to sink in a lot better, even to really that Christ and the Holy Spirit resides with me forever. I mean, I'm thinking that understanding this better would lead me to rejoice every day with a joy unexplainable for anyone, because the Lord of the universe has chosen to forgive my sin and to come and dwell in me. And if my strength comes from him to do what he's asked me to do, comes from this joy of understanding this, then that maybe John is onto something very, very important. To endure a long life, and it seems like he did, by rejoicing in what God has done. I had written down, If that joy is so strong, shouldn't I fall to my knees, lift up a song, or whatever I do to rejoice and praise God because he has done so much already? And I know for some personalities, this is not as easy as it thinks. Some people are bent to, like, I want to celebrate all the time, I want to rejoice all the time. But this is important. This is not just some party. This is understanding and praising God for who he is and what he's been doing and has done in our lives. So what are the things that we can and you can rejoice in every day? Because I think as we rehearse this for ourselves, we might actually become a more joy-filled and encouraged people. Some of the things that I think really encourages me is when we hear about people who used to be a part of our church. We hear that they're walking in their truth. They're doing ministry. They're walking faithfully with Jesus where they are, whether they're in South Africa, Ghana, whether they're in Bulgaria, in America, Belgium, or in South Korea, Japan, or India, Sri Lanka, wherever they might be. Oh, what great joy it is to hear that they are walking faithfully with Christ. What about your family and your friends? What about the people who have children? Is there greater joy than to see them also walking faithfully with Jesus? What about people in our fellowship as well? Who can you rejoice in God for? And don't forget all the things that He's done in you. John is testifying about this joy, and he praises God, and he encourages and strengthens the church. He continues and encourages them to walk. He encourages them to walk in keeping his commandments, the one that was from the beginning, to love God and to love others. From Leviticus 19:18, the great commandment to love God and to love others. And Jesus in John explains this further as well. You should love one another as I have loved you. Taking it up, this walking out in love to its fulfillment and to its conclusion. John's not giving them this kind of burden and not this religious thing. This walking out is not possible in our own strength. We can't prove that we can let this force ourselves to love God. It's this transformation that happens in us when Jesus opened up our eyes. That we can love because we've been loved first. It's the passage from this one. We also talked about last time that love is not that we love God. It is that He loved us and sent His Son to be a propitiation of our sins. When we understand this verse, then we can love God. But we can't force ourselves to it. We have to see this happening. And the other verses is there from 13 and from 15 in John. Let me just read it. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another just as I loved you. You are to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandment and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full. This is the commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. John's referencing what he's already learned from Jesus, says this is what it looks like to walk out in these commandments. That it's what Christ has done that would help us rejoice, would enable us to walk, and would enable the church not to be led astray. So he calls them to love one another. We talked about that last time. What does love do? Well, Well, true love always speaks the truth. It does not lie. It does not lead astray. So as he's asking them to love one another, he's asking them to live like Jesus lived, how they were loved, and how he experienced being loved by Jesus. The commandments are fulfilled in you loving one another as Christ has loved you. That's the fulfillment of the commandments. But it will also keep the church together, because then people won't be splitting out of the church if they have a right understanding of who Jesus is. And if they love one another, speak the truth to one another in love, they won't be splitting off wanting some kind of other Jesus to follow. So he's asking them to draw near, to draw together, to rejoice in the ones who are walking. And he's encouraging the ones, not that you can all do this in Christ. And you do it by loving one another as Christ has loved you. Honoring God and encouraging the people towards God. The truth leads people to Jesus. Even when Jesus rebukes and corrects, he's always leading people to God. And a need for their salvation. That is not the religious works, but it's Christ's life that he gave up for them. That God showed that he loved the world. Now, what will the church do with this? Will they love one another? Will they encourage to rejoice and know the love that Christ has given to them? And will they walk this out? Love is an action, so they have to put this into action. What actions in their lives and in ours show a love for Christ? In our workplaces, in our schools, wherever we go, do we speaking the truth in love as Jesus did, loving people as Jesus did, walking in the commandments? You've heard it said to me so many times, it's really important what we think about God, what we believe about God, because that would show other people what we believe about God. But, and it's not a private matter, but maybe I have misunderstood some of it, or there's another part to it, because what we really believe about who God is, that is what comes out in our lives. So, in some sense, our theology is what we live out. Not our knowledge of theology, but our deep understanding of who Jesus is and what actually comes out of our lives is what we live out. So that is why I believe that he's asking them to love one another and to walk in the commandment of Jesus. John's letters are about truth, and we talked about it last time as well, but truth is important today, and is also important then. To love in truth and not to pretend, not to call love things that are not love, and not to claim a truth that is not true. John is saying these things because they know that John has explained this before, and that the verses we read from John before, that God has loved them and you in Christ Jesus. So we are to live out that love. He's asking them to do that in the fellowship. The Holy Spirit in you, we should be able to walk in that. And what's the important part here with John and also today, it is that the Holy Spirit controlling us, we will not be led astray away from Jesus Christ to a false teaching about Jesus. Here's the thing I wanted to say. Doctrine and theology that you truly just matter. It will define how we live. Or we can say how we live will show a view of God and Jesus Christ. John writes this letter to warn the church of what is already happening and what is coming. He loves these people. And he wants them to love one another. And he knows that love for God and Jesus, in truth, they hold on to that, they would not be led astray. If they love one another as Christ loved them, they will be able to love one another in truth. Some people will say, well, can't we just get along with everyone? Why do we have to speak the truth in love? And why do we have to do this? Can't we just love everyone and get along with everyone? Well, I think when we look at Jesus, he does get along with everyone. Kind of. But the thing is that if Christ has bought us, we are not our own. We're his. And we won't find rest by appeasing other people. We only find rest in Jesus. And if we really truly love people, we will also speak the truth and love to them. Then people who are misguided, we won't just accommodate and say, yeah, you're right, that's probably true. Or say, that's your truth, that's okay for you. Because that's really unloving if we know the truth. So if God loved us first, we are to love God and love the truth. And love people truly. And not accept false teaching about who Jesus is. True love speaks the truth in love to everyone. Because that is the most loving thing to do. And because that's what Jesus did. This is where I've fallen short many times. I care way more about myself than other people. And therefore I don't share. Or I just don't care. Or I just don't love the people. I was fighting this a lot when I was running today. I just like, these people are so dumb, and blah, 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 blah. I don't have the same view as God does of these people. Precious, made in the image, his image. So I need to know, go back and see, like, well, how much am I rejoicing in what God has done in me? And how can this be transformed to me loving the people that I see? Starting with loving one another in the fellowship, and then to all the people we see. Because if God created each person in his image, and he sent his son Jesus, that they might know who he is. Us rejoicing in that, living that truth out in love, we show other people who Jesus is. I'm not there at all. I have way long to go. But the question is, maybe I should be rejoicing way more in what Christ has already done than where I'm failing. Maybe that would actually give the power and strength and encouragement to love other people. Now, there is a real enemy that wants to see, kill, and destroy people and churches. And the churches should be aware of false teaching and reject it. The false teachers should be rejected by the truth of Jesus Christ. And the false teachers should be confronted with the truth and the in love. And if they won't accept that, they should be sent away so they would not lead other people astray. The devil also has plenty of people working for him. The world, flesh, and the devil was strong as work. And as Peter writes, there is an enemy to trying to destroy and different things. And we can see, unfortunately, that's working in John's case. So he encourages them to rejoice, to see what God has done, and to walk in love together. John is praying to God that this will solidify them in the truth, and the people would not, the people wouldn't be would be encouraged and strengthened in that love that they've received in Jesus, and they would not be led astray. So walking in the truth and love and living out the teaching of God's commandments, how are you doing that? We don't get the answer yet from the other people, but how are you doing that? Are you able to reject false teaching? Do you know the truth that set people free? Do you know who you are in Jesus Christ? And can you rejoice with John in Jesus Christ's life and work? And do you have joy because of what he's done in your life and in other people's lives? Because it is finished. He has done it, Jesus. Jesus has made a way for us to be come to God, have our eyes opened. Jesus has promised in Christ to still dwell in us with the Holy Spirit until always. Can we find joy and strength in that? And then God's work in others. The question also, do you even know Jesus? Do you know? If you do know, leaves you to live for him. If you like giving over to Jesus as king, if it is, you can rejoice and praise God that he opened your eyes. You can rejoice in this. You can live it out and share it with others. If Jesus is not your Lord and King, this is the moment where you ask Jesus to show you by the Holy Spirit, Lord, show me who you are. As he opens your eyes, you can also with great rejoice with Jesus. And you can stand in the truth and walk with him. John's encouraging this church that he loves. He's trying to bolster them against false teaching, and he does it with rejoice and love one another. May the Lord bless us as we get encouraged by his word, and may he be praised. Amen. As we continue reading John's text, and I really do ask for myself and for all of us that you would set these truths so deep in us that, or even just open up our eyes to see how amazing it is, that we would rejoice in what you've done, that it would shape how our hands and feet works, that it would be how we live this life out in truth and in love because of what you've done. That's because you love first that we can love. We can rejoice because you are working. You have worked. And you are still working. So Lord, I pray you strengthen us and encourage us to be bearers of good news, of great joy, and speaking the truth and love in our fellowship and wherever we go. And Lord, I pray that we would see you work by the Holy Spirit. See people come to know you as we share this truth and love with people. Help us to do it in our families, with our friends, in our co-workers, in our workplaces, in our schools, in our neighborhoods, when we're walking our dog. Help us to know that you have placed us here with a purpose. Help me and help us all to rejoice in what you've done. I ask that in Jesus' name. always avocado based. But it's time to celebrate and rejoice in what Christ has done, and we normally do it every week when I don't forget to have bread or something. As a weekly reminder of what Christ has done, that we can rejoice in this and that we can remember the importance of what God has done in Christ Jesus, how he loved us first and sent his son. And Jesus, along with his father, had this plan that this was what's going to happen, that we might be that we might be set free and be able to be reconciled to God. So Paul, he writes to them in Corinthians, and there were many things that weren't working there, but he writes them about this meal, and he says, "For I received from the Lord what I was delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, he also took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me.' For as often as you eat the bread and drink the cups, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." So he's asking them to do this communally as a meal to encourage one another that Christ is coming. He encourages the people, the believers, to actually also love one another. He also encourages them to take time to just examine how is their relationship with God. Is there anything they need to confess? The same thing with the community. Is there anything they need to confess or repent of in the community? So as we come to this meal, it's remembering who Christ is and what he's done. So we ask that you are a follower of Christ. If you participate, if not, then pray and ask him to reveal himself. Logistics is you can take a piece of bread and